It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hell yeah! It's the Luca Beach Show. How you doing? It's Pete Donaldson here, joined by Mr. Lukey Miller.
Disgusting.
Why is that disgusting?
Absolutely disgusting.
Why
behavior.
Is, you know, when you usually speak, air goes over some vocal cords, and that's absolutely fine, but going... different use of the lungs and the vocal cords, isn't it?
You're a disgusting
and
human
being. And the throat.
What
have you got against throats? Sunshine. I do actually have a bad throat.
Well, what happened?
I don't know.
What happened?
I think I had a dream where I was karate kicked in the windpipe. I don't know. It just really hurts.
Windpipe. Get in there. My uncle.
Windpipe. It's not just a windpipe. I also use it for consuming hot dogs.
My uncle used. No, that's the difference.
Is the windpipe basically the bit that. Could you not use. What's the mouth then? Does that not count as part of the windpipe?
Terrible first day for medical training for you, this. Anyone got any questions?
No,
I got a few.
You're up in court. You are supposed to be a respected surgeon. I was going, well,
Mr. Moore, are you absolutely sure you want to proceed with this expert witness? Yes, I fucking do.
What
Let
is a windpipe?
Let him cook. So I think you're getting confused between the trachea and the esophagus, aren't you?
Yeah, but no.
Famously separate compartments.
Of what? The neck?
Well, yeah, I guess so. That's the broad.
But surely windpipe includes everything past the tongue as well, because it's still a pipe that gives you wind.
Yeah. Oh, you revolutionised modern science with this kind of chat, mate.
I just think we should stop pissing about with two pipes and just let the food and air go where it wants to go.
A cost-cutting measure.
Exactly.
Yeah,
why
more efficient.
Don't we mash them both together?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a double-decker bar.
Is there not a flap? I believe there's a flap involved.
Right.
And
the valve that stops
some
both
kind of
things.
Valve.
Do you have a valve on you? You have a valve under your lung bit, and your valve on you. Do you have a valve in your stomach? Probably that's the default hell
and,
slide, isn't it?
And the cock and balls.
Why is that?
It's the piss versus spunk conundrum, isn't it?
Oh, so the stomach just basically goes.
Stomach doesn't do any of it.
It's like that bit in not Muppet Babies, Sesame Street, where it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I had a proper late 70s reference that one, but it did run till about mid-90s.
Yeah.
The ball sort of flapping around in like a pinball machine.
What, for the stomach?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the cock and balls now, though.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that's connected, isn't it?
It's all connected, mate.
I remember in biology, you had to trace an oxygen atom into a muscle. Like an oxygen atom in the air. Or it's CO2 or whatever, and you trace how it gets into your muscles and what it does. And I spent ages on that. The teacher was impressed with my work.
What'd you get?
Instantly forgot about it, clearly.
Yeah.
I probably had to mention the windpipe at some point.
I think that you... What was your science GCSE mark?
It was a B. It was combined science.
I did B. Combined science. I got a B as well.
There you go.
I did double science combined.
Yeah, it was for the people who didn't want to do... It would have been so useful to know a bit more. In America, right, this is what would have really helped me. Don't you get taught how to do your taxes? And also, you used to be able to, car repair was one of the lessons.
I'm only going on the Wi-Fi I have access to, and I'm going to answer no to both those things.
I got to do this again!
Yeah. If my wife knows how to fix a car, which she may do, she knows a lot more than me.
You get driving,
she'd get that from her dad.
You
not
get
from her,
driving lessons, don't you, at some universities and colleges in America. But certainly, they used to have a lesson where you could fix your own car, which would be really useful. People are really sort of naive about car repair, I think.
I totally agree.
Including me.
There's a lot of practical things that you can certainly learn. I found that I've got a lot to unpack here, so I'll just get through it as quick as I can. I think a lot of people confuse America, quote unquote, America, with the kind of federalist system they've got where it does vary by
very
state.
Yeah.
So you can do certain things in certain states you can't do in other states. But an example would be, you know, you ride your motorbike in, say, Connecticut, you have to wear, you may not have to wear a helmet. You ride up north to Massachusetts and you may have to wear a helmet.
So you've got to keep a helmet on top of
you. Take it off again.
Just paint your head like a helmet.
Yeah, you should do that.
I'll wear a watermelon. Tattoo a helmet. Some people
Just basically what
really
you want to do.
Stuff.
In Connecticut, when you've got to wear the helmet, I'm making this up, but it's an example. Wear the watermelon.
Yes.
When you get into Massachusetts, you cross
the state line,
get it off, help yourself to a lovely snack.
Yeah.
Back into Vermont, get it on your bonce again.
Yeah. It would stink, wouldn't it, after a while? you would attract really fast wasps.
Yeah, you would. Mm. You absolutely would. Mm. And the other thing I was going to say is just that when I went back to university as an older gentleman, I did find it quite interesting how little attention was paid to the younger students about the shit they're going to have to know and do when they go into the world of work. And I know it's a really old person thing to say, and it's quite boring. And Pete, you know me to be this kind of boring guy. About
freshers do retire to my room and I'll tell you all about it.
It wasn't that.
I didn't have a room.
Yeah,
it was a van.
Yeah. And they just do not hold themselves up to a high enough standard for the working world, in my view.
Okay.
Because they're not told to, because they haven't known any better.
Well, we didn't.
So, during... probably. So
definitely.
An example
not
would
probably,
be,
definitely. We're exactly the same.
I run a pretty tight ship. The example would be, Pete, and you probably wouldn't care about this. For example, you go to a two-hour seminar.
Yeah.
You've paid to be there.
Yes.
Right? And it's only about 10, 12 people in there, because it's a seminar, not a big lecture. And couple of people just wander in 45 minutes after it starts.
Yes.
Halfway through everything's happening.
Yeah.
Everyone's already been separated into groups. Mm-hmm. The main presentation's happened. You're doing stuff.
Yeah.
And they just wander in, dump their bag down. In your view, should the professor be saying, what are you doing?
Right, okay.
Or should he just let them carry on, which mostly they did?
Hmm. But I would say that the mature students that were certainly on my course would very much be the ones sitting at the front of the lecture hall asking all the questions.
I'm obviously there.
Slowing me up.
I mean, the younger people who just turn up later.
I just want to get... That's what I mean. I just want to get out of there. Like, but you remember what you were like at university.
Yeah.
You would have been exactly the same.
Yeah.
I didn't go to... I still
that,
have...
That HND and media studies didn't come by itself.
I still have... Happens of mass destruction. I would say that when you sort of go into those lessons, I mean, I still have fever dreams where I have to attend three classes before the end of the semester or else they just don't let me enter the exam. You know, I still
only
have
you're
those.
Having those nightmares about library fines.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think for me it was different because the first time I did got involved, it was just a box tick and I did it and it was easy.
Mm.
And I didn't actually find it hard. The second time around was much harder and was a much better university and a much better qualification.
Mm.
And I just think that, you know, in that example with those younger guys turning up late and not really knowing what the fuck's going on and half of them not turning up to any of them, even though they've paid and even though that they've been accepted because their grades are good or whatever, it's just like, you're just fucking wasting your time.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to kind of tell people they're wrong or be an old man about it, but you're basically wasting your time. If you're going to do that, you might just go and work for a year and say to potential employees, I've got a year's work experience rather than, I went to a good university, flunked out of my master's because I didn't fucking turn up and it cost me 11 grand. Well, most people are going to go, well, you're a fucking idiot then.
So that was a master's course.
Yeah.
So everyone was in the master's
course. Do you
know
anything about me?
No, but like, I'm just saying
that.
Yeah,
it was like, the master's course. Yeah.
So I'm just
the
saying. MA. But could they have, could it have been a module that people who were undergraduates also had? That's what I'm saying.
No.
Right.
You have to be a master's. You can't get onto it without that.
Chris Masters from To Catch a Predator, was he there?
He wasn't there, right. No. No.
Take a seat, sir.
I was surprised because when I turned up, it actually turned out to be the Masters Snooker Tournament. I got knocked out in the first round. Couldn't put a break of more than 20 together. It's embarrassing. It'll be 8-0 by Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Letting everyone down.
Can happen to everyone, though. Ronnie is very good. Peter, what's been going on with you? So you've got the big recording trousers on today.
Big recording trousers on.
I've put a post on the Luke and Pete Show Instagram for people who want to see them. For those who aren't of that persuasion.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Where did you take a picture of
you
me?
You signed all your rights away. You signed them all away.
We haven't got a little poster up saying that you might be filmed in this facility. That's not fair.
I think all the cameras do give it away.
I hope you're on time for your cock kiss.
I did.
Not 40 minutes late for that.
I did say to you when we first started doing this show, one of the riders for me, one of the deal breakers for me of you and I doing this,
film you.
Is I want to do whatever I want whenever I want to do it.
Okay.
And I think I got you at a particularly weak point and you said yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, for those who aren't of the Instagram persuasion, allow me to fill you in. They're a pair of very shiny.
They are very shiny, actually.
Red.
Yeah. Cheap.
With a blue leopard print. Very, very. I don't mean to be rude. I'm not in a position to speak about this kind of stuff very freely. I don't think they used to be that tight. Have you been?
They probably were tighter.
Someone's not been skipping leg day. But I'll tell you what, I can see every fold.
Nook and cranny.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not seeing my tattoos through it.
I can. But they've almost gone translucent. They're so tight.
Yeah. It's like when Homer Simpson wipes a really greasy sort of hot dog, I think, on a wall and it goes see through. It's like that.
It's so very taut, much like that.
So taut and greasy.
And what's the weekend brought that's made you want to start the Monday, start
like
the week
this.
With those trousers? Yeah.
I had a mate stay in, so the room I get dressed in just had a lot of stuff in it.
The room I get dressed in. You're not endearing yourself to people listening.
What do you mean? The room I get dressed in?
Most people don't have a dressing room, mate.
I didn't say I had a dressing room. I said the front room.
The room I get dressed in.
My
car.
Which
some people call the garden.
Some people call it a Jaguar XF.
Yeah.
2014.
Still rocking the two dope rides?
The dope ride in question that's come from Japan passed its MOT at the weekend.
Fantastic. So we can do an episode from the car?
Not quite yet, because certain just park agreements have not been kept by the people who offered me a parking space. They said it's a lovely big parking space and behind a garage. And I was like, right.
How much are you paying for it?
I paid about £70 for it, and I couldn't fit the car in because it's so long and capacious.
Amazing. What a capacious vehicle.
So then I sort of park it on someone else's drive that I've rented. But that means I can't tinker for the time in which it takes to get registered. And I certainly can't record anything on someone else's driveway. That would be mental.
Look,
so
I'm going to Lanzarote later this week.
Oh, yes, please.
When I come back, I want to be in that car.
You want to be in that car.
Well,
I hope you take a 6-week holiday, because that's how long the DVLA take to register a car.
Our audience are demanding it.
Right, okay.
We need to do it. I need to be in the back of that car, my feet up, talking about the plush interior and why it smells so much of cigarettes.
Well, I mean, the MOT man did say, I'll level with you, it's a bit of a mess.
Did he?
He said, I'll level with you, it's a bit of a mess. I've got, it's hand-built though.
Yeah.
You know, Toyota engineers have to work their whole lives to get the chance to work on just the lacquer
on the
paint of the car. Apparently it is. But this one's a bit of a mess.
But
inside.
None of them can build cars.
It's a bit of a
We've
just got all the painters to do the wiring looms.
He's still part of it. He's still passed it, though.
He passed it, but I mean, that doesn't mean I'm not going to have trouble further down the line. I think I've figured out I think I've figured out how to fix the thing that needs to be fixed.
It feels to me the system's broken if he's literally calling you up saying that and saying, well, that's a pass.
Yeah, well, it is a pass. It's just not dangerous. MOT just tells you whether your car's dangerous or not.
Right.
It's dangerous to know.
It depends who's handling the little beast.
So I am, I have got a little driveway. I need to get on another driveway, but I don't have the legal deniability to get it on another driveway. So
I'll sort this.
Right.
Hello at lukeandpeacher.com.
Right. Can you get me some tread beds?
Within 5 miles, nautical or otherwise, of Pete Donaldson's house, and you have a drive to donate to a man who, let's be fair, we all know this.
Drive. I just need to tinker.
Let me finish my
appeal. Let me tinker.
You would have heard Pete's output over the last however many years.
Yeah.
You know as well as I do, everyone, he's struggling. He's struggling big time.
I drove past the car recently.
He's struggling sartorially. The man is struggling in every way possible.
And that's why I've written a book, My Struggle, by Pete Donaldson.
He's on Stephen Bartlett week Monday.
I'm on Stephen
Bartlett. I think
a book like My Struggle would be on a different podcast.
It was sure would.
Right,
speaking of which, actually, Peter... Now, I'm going to take this under advice because I haven't actually read the deep dive yet.
Right.
But one of the guys who is in the ballpark, shall we say, of your Stephen Bartletts of this world, world, has been the subject of a deep dive long read.
Okay.
Is, of course, your friend and mine, Jay Shetty, who does a lot of this stuff, and people pay him a lot of money for all this self-help business. You know, who'd have thought people in the self-help sphere were... potentially problematic. Not me.
No, not me.
Apparently,
no,
Jay Shetty's have been the subject of this huge... he's big in podcasting, of course.
Mm.
He's been the subject of a huge long read, deep dive by The Guardian over in the US, I think.
All right.
Okay. Where a lot of stuff's been going on. Well worth having a look. So you Google that and give it a read. Peter, I hope you don't go down that road yourself after your struggles with your car tip you quite literally, mentally, over the edge.
Over the edge, yeah, okay.
You turn to some kind of Hartley Pudleyan Tony Robbins.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think there's... I think
that's Tony Robbins, the self-help guy, not Tony Robbins, who's been the subject of quite a lot of accusations that were quite unsavoury.
Which one's the other one? I don't know who the other Tony Robbins is, to be honest.
No, I mean...
Who's Blackadder?
Listen to what I'm saying. Right. That's what I mean is you could become the Hartley Pudleyan and Tony Robbins.
Right.
The self-help part, not the part about the touching.
Okay. Yeah. The duality of man there.
It's
one man.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Could he not self-help himself not to do bad stuff?
He could self-help himself.
Could he not?
Stop yourself, Tony.
Stop yourself, yeah. Doctor, heal thyself, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that I would be a good self-help guru, but it would mainly, I'd be saying sentences like, just stop doing it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Have you
I'll
thought
start
about
doing
not
doing it?
Yeah. Have you thought about not doing that?
Go for a run. That seems to be a lot of, because I, you know, I hear a lot of like sort of self-help podcasty sort of stuff, and it seems to be go for a run. You're here for a good time, not a long time. Don't go out searching for...
I don't think they say that, do they?
Don't go out searching for...
Don't say that to an addict, do you?
No, but like, I think self-help podcasts, certainly, and that kind of space, it's sort of separated in three ways. If the podcast seems to skew... female, depressingly, they always just talk about enrich your life with family and friends and stuff. If it goes male, it's get up at 5 a.m. and rise and grind and sell things.
Yeah.
And then if it skews...
If you are 30 and you've not got a side hustle...
Yeah, exactly.
Change your circle.
Kill yourself. Just kill yourself. Yeah. Just all that stuff. So it's all just... It's just really depressingly kind of codified into the patriarchy for me.
Yeah.
And then the third way is... the grift shift into Donald Trump
fascism.
Is king and fascism,
yeah,
just
yeah.
straight fascism, basically.
Yeah. Basically authoritarian fascism.
Mm, correct. Yeah.
And I think there are more traditional and perhaps more, perhaps less labour-intensive ways of getting into fascism.
Yeah, okay. Just start with the clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's easier.
Start with a cool t-shirt.
Yeah. But you used to be a bit of an edgelord yourself, Peter, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You
used to
did.
Be an edgelord. I did not used to be an edgelord. I say naughty things, but they're never naughty, naughty things.
You love your memes.
Love my memes, yeah. That's not edgy, though, is it?
I'll
have a go at Captain Tom. All bets are off with them.
Yeah.
You
have a big pop. You have a big old pop at the right wing.
That's allowed, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
They're there to be shot at. They're the ducks in a row, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. And speaking of which, actually, it's brought me on nicely onto something I did over the weekend. Not in that way. Mm. I have about 2 or 3 hours downtime in the evening.
Yes, okay.
Where everything's quiet in the house and everyone's sleeping apart from me. And I probably should go to bed, but I'm stubborn and I'm like, I've had no time to myself today, so I'm just going to stay up. And yes, I'll be tired tomorrow.
Yes, okay,
but
yeah.
Sitting around procrastinating is me time.
Yeah, just clawing back a bit of your life.
I think a lot of people will relate to that. I think if I say to you that, for example, I spend 90% of those evenings finding and failing something to watch on telly before just packing it in and going to bed, lifting up my Kindle for about 5 minutes, decide I'm bored with the book, and then just struggle to sleep. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Anyway.
Are you a sleep struggler then?
Not really.
At the end of the day?
No, right, not really. No. What I find, I'm actually, having said all that, and I will come on to the main point, but just while you've diverted me slightly, I'm actually a very good sleeper.
Mm.
Like, traditionally, it's been like inbuilt in me, I think. It's genetic or something. My son, as a result, is a very good sleeper for his age, touch wood. I mean, he'll go all the way through now, and he's only 9.5 months, which is amazing. And he has done for months. Anyway. What I find, the trick to good sleep is I properly like draw a mental circle around myself when I get into bed and go, anything else that's happening, anything else, you know, with the exception of my family that are immediately here, can't be affected or changed by me. I can't do anything about it, right? So I would say
to myself...
You have
such mental strength.
I've got a mantra
where
I say, whether I'm going to be in this bed for 10 minutes or 10 hours... I'm going to value this time. And if I get woken up in 10 minutes by my son or my wife, whatever, and I have a terrible night, I'm going to value this,
right,
and I'm going to use it.
So use that, it as a lesson.
And the way that helps, and obviously it's never 10 minutes, no, but the way that actually helps me,
yeah,
is if I am only going to have to get about 5 hours one night and I'm going to have to pile through the next day and just,
yeah,
get on with it,
yeah,
it teaches me to value that 5 hours.
Mm.
And so I don't spend my time worrying about it. I just try and switch off. I just forget it. I can't change anything right now. And I'm generally a pretty good sleeper.
Right.
Anyway, on Saturday night, I had nothing going on. And I went onto iPlayer and I found this documentary as part of the Storyville series, which is a very, very rich seam to mine, yeah, when it comes to documentaries. And it was about a guy who found out that his father was essentially his father passed away, and so he started to find out all these things about him. And this is set in Australia, and his father was a Jewish partisan during the Second World War. So he had his son when he was quite a lot older, like in his late 50s, I believe. And he only knew his father as this really nice, kind of gentle older guy. But he's got a couple of older brothers, and all this stuff starts coming out. Essentially, his father was a partisan in Belarus. Do you know what a partisan is? Like, basically, he was like a guerrilla fighting against the Nazis, right? Mm. As a Jewish guy, and so he did whatever he did to survive, and sadly lost a lot of his family in the Holocaust, and ended up at the end of the war. Him and his brother came to Australia. It's called Our Dad, the Nazi Killer. And they started finding out about him. Not only did they find out that he was a partisan during the war, and his brother, the guy's uncle, was blowing up trains, Nazi trains, all the rest of it. Pretty kind of interesting, like James Bond type stuff. But he finds out that his dad founded this group called Nekoma, which is, I think, Yiddish for revenge. And they started compiling little dossiers in Australia about all the Nazi war criminals that fled to Australia and that they knew were living among them, basically. Mm. To the point where they were living quite close, doing the same kind of trades. And when these Jewish guys, Holocaust survivors, complained to the Australian authorities, the Australian authorities refused to act. They just wouldn't do anything. And then, by that point, everyone in the West was obsessed with communism, and they just didn't want to fucking do it. They just wanted to let bygones be bygones. Of course, a lot of Jewish people, completely understandably so, didn't want to let it go.
Yeah.
Right? So he starts putting together this team, and he essentially travels, well, they think, just starts travelling around Australia, killing Nazis.
Killing Nazis.
It's like a real-life Inglourious Bastards.
Wow.
It was incredible to watch. And then obviously these children, because he's got this guy who's the main protagonist, finding out about his father, has got two older brothers who didn't really know much about it either. And they start wrestling with the idea of justice and whether it's right or wrong. What's the two paths that are in front of you, whether you kind of let things go and just let it go and just try and live your life as much as you can, which is what he taught his kids. You know, we're happy here now. We've got a family. But people have survived. You know, we grieve for the ones who were killed, but we treat every day like it's an amazing gift because of what we've been through. And the other side, which is basically, fuck that, these guys are cunts.
Mm.
We're killing as many of them as we can because that's what they deserve. It's a really interesting documentary. I'd recommend it. It's on BBC iPlayer, called Our Dad, the Nazi Killer, part of the Storyville series, which is always excellent anyway. So I ended up watching that, and I did that thing where you put something on at about 10:30. You know, I'll just give this a go. And I was absolutely gripped.
Yeah.
And before you know it, midnight's rolled around, and you're like, oh, Jesus.
No. I've made myself tired again.
Yeah, but it was well worth watching, Peter. I don't know if it'll be up your street, but I bloody enjoyed it. It's got no tech in it, though.
It's got no...
So you might not like it.
Well, I mean, I guess how it depends on how they met their end, I suppose, these Nazis.
Oh, a lot of them, it was...
Guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
One of them, I think, was led into the forest and made to disembowel himself.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean,
on the other hand, though, he was a Nazi.
Yeah, so but I mean, when you are wrestling with, you know, someone hunting and killing Nazis, that's another step forward, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's,
I think every single one of them should have, I think you were within your rights. I think you were well within your rights.
Yeah.
I think if you can't, it was a war, first and foremost, millions of people died. Mm. If you can't get stuck into some Nazis, and I think, the world's gone mad, but you can't say anything these days.
If I can shoot rabbits, I can shoot fascists.
Yeah, as James Dean Bradfield stole from
fuck knows.
Someone else.
Fuck
someone
knows.
Else. Probably some kind, I think it was someone in the Spanish Civil War off the top of my head.
Mm. Okay.
It's time for the break!
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind.
When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
But by the way, speaking of the Manic Street Preachers, old Nicky Wire's doing a Six Music show at the moment, isn't he?
He is. He's in for. I do listen to a lot of Six Music these days because I'm a little bit fatigued with the the sort of 90s indie stuff that most radio stations play these days. But
I find that Six Music doesn't really know what it wants to be these days.
No, it's a fucking mess. And everybody, there's no kind of funny people on there anymore. There's just Northern cheeky boys talking about this and that. And then there's, is it Marianne Hobbs who's on Mid Mornings? She just sounds terribly depressed about everything.
Yeah, so there's Lawrence.
Hi, I'm just about to play a song and I'm going to cry. It just seems a real missed opportunity to have someone who's just got a bit about them. But then I find sometimes, is it Lisa Tarbuck on Radio 2? This is very UK-centric.
Doesn't matter, we're British. All right. If you don't like it, if you're listening, you're
lucky to hear anything out of our rotten teeth.
If you're listening to this from another country, go fuck yourself. Carry on, Pete.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. No, seriously, thanks for listening. Yeah. Carry on. Lisa Tarbuck on Radio 2.
She's the only female radio presenter who's been allowed to dick about.
Can they pick their own music on Six Music still?
I presume they have a pretty big hand in it. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be. Yeah, I think that's a problem. The idiots have taken over the asylum. I think that I would say that you're allowed too much kind of rope, I suppose.
Oh,
so you can
right.
play whatever you want. But it just seems to be the music nerds have taken over and they're just playing any old crap. And not any old crap. It's all very listenable, but I just find there's no through line. It's like, this is what Six stands for.
I find that with a lot of radio stations now, though, because Six Music, about, what are we thinking, probably 10, 12 years ago, had a brilliant schedule. It was Keaveney. It was Radcliffe and McConey, I think, at one point. It was Gideon Coe. He was really good. There was about four or five shows in a row which are brilliant. And I think Lauren Levan did Mid-Morning now, I think. She was good as well. And now it's very, very confused. And if I go into the kitchen to stick on a bit of Six Music while I'm cooking or whatever at like 6 p.m, you can sometimes just be a proper like pumping DJing session or something. You have no idea what you're listening to.
Laverne gets away with a delicious Sapa 7 start for a breakfast show, which I think is just...
No, she's 8:30, isn't she?
Nah, 7:30.
That is an incredible flex.
Keaveney only got his proper break on XFM because she didn't work Fridays. And then they had to build this whole kind of feature around her not doing Fridays just because her agent was really good and went, she's not doing Fridays.
Right. So then
they started. Fridays are different.
Man, when I did breakfast papers,
7:30.
I had breakfast papers.
Good honour.
I had to the cab would come for me at like 4:45, and that was just for papers.
Yeah.
7:30 breakfast shows are great.
But anyway, Six Music musically is a mess. I enjoy listening to it, but I think that I don't like the way that radio forces women into sounding cooler than they are. You know what I mean? They force these voices to sort of pretend that they can only be cool. They can't be silly. They can't be stupid. But Lisa Tarbuck is the only one on Radio 2 who's allowed to piss about.
I mean, on Radio 2, speaking of that, I mean, Jeremy Vine's not cool.
He's not cool. Well, again, his show's, you know, vault fasters all over the place. It's like the One Show.
Yeah, but I think people need to have a proper kind of thoughtful sit down about the Radio 2 thing, because you've got Vernon Kay handing over to Jeremy Vine, handing over to Spoonie, sitting in for Scott Mills. What's going on?
Scott Mills.
No one listening outside of the UK will even know who any of these people are. How would you describe Spoonie, Pete?
He was a garage DJ, wasn't he? DJ Spoonie.
Came through in the garage era, I think.
Yeah. And then
became a professional Man United fan for a while.
Man United fan, right.
Professional Man United fan for a while. Got an agent who we use sometimes, and she is always trying to get him to come and work here.
Right, okay.
That won't be happening.
Okay.
It's probably too expensive.
I think DJ Spoonie was on when, I think John Peel died.
Oh, was he?
And he was doing some... It was akin to when I had to do an hour long dedicated to Prince when he died.
What, no prep?
No prep. Didn't know what was going on. Didn't really have a handle on what was happening.
Stick the whole Purple Rain on. That's a concept album.
Found it hard to elicit the gravitas that the moment needed, so to speak. But yeah, it's an odd one.
Do you find it... So the toughest radio assignment I ever had was on TalkSport on my show on the 7 till 10 on Friday nights. About 7:15, the news broke that UEFA had banned Manchester City from the Champions League for 2 years.
Okay, right, yeah.
But it broke at like 12 minutes before 7. And I was like, okay, fucking hell, we're going to have to lead with this. So I called Rob Harris from the Associated Press and said, would you like to come on at 7? You can name your price. And he was like, yeah, right. And he came in and just explained the whole thing for me.
£50.
Yeah. And then as soon as he finished, I faded him down. Now we're going to talk about our favourite David Beckham goals. See you after this. That's how we got away with it. We haven't done a break, Peter. Right. I don't know what producer Rory or producer Taylor will want us to do. Maybe they'll want us to go for a break now, or they want us to put it in later.
Let's just put it in later. That makes sense. We're heading towards the end of the show.
When you've just listened back to this and you've heard the break before, we've put this in later, but you won't know
later.
That because it's the marvellous modern recording techniques.
And you'll never know that it's been put in later. So I'm going to do the call to a break now. It's time for the break! Seamless.
Good one.
And here's the end of the show. Farewell. This has been the Luke and Pete Show. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com if you want to get in touch with the show. You can also say hello on Twitter.
Head over to Instagram to see Pete's trousers, for sure.
I'm going
to
sneeze.
Go for it.
I'm allergic to the end of the Luke and Pete Show.
That was a really...
Fuck off!
That was a really weird sneeze. It's like you didn't mean it.
Oh, God. My body's falling to bits. I love it.
I've told you, I've probably told you the sneeze story in my house before, haven't I?
What, you sneezed so hard a crow
came out of my bottom?
Crow out of your bum.
No. The story is, I'll just do it very quickly because I might have done it before, is that...
Don't second guess yourself.
Okay, sorry.
Is this because I pulled you up on repeating it?
I've got a brilliant story that you've never heard before.
Okay.
Here we go.
I'm real excited!
When I was living with my parents back in the day, was fortunate enough to bring a girl back to the house.
Whoa.
Everyone was asleep.
What?
It was fine.
What? A one night stand?
She kept sneezing. Right? She kept sneezing.
It's the seventh of an orgasm.
Right.
And that's all. And that was the best she could expect.
Anyway, cut a long story short, she went.
Right.
Parents didn't know. Turns out.
Right.
They heard the sneezing.
Yes.
And the following Sunday, at like Sunday lunch around the family or anything, my dad starts taking the piss out of me for quote unquote, I've never noticed this about you before, but you sneeze like a girl. Do a sneeze now so we can hear you sneezing.
Right.
And I couldn't do a sneeze because no one could do a sneeze on demand.
Yeah.
So I didn't. But my point is, they jumped to the conclusion that it was far more likely that I sneeze like a girl than the girl would ever be interested in being with me.
Okay, right, there good.
See you on Thursday.
What? That's a banger.
See you on Thursday.
I wish you'd done this at the start of the show.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.